Good morning, beloved. It's wonderful to be with you again. And we are busy with our study in Jude. And this is study 23. But before we continue, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. And thank you for the privilege of studying your word, studying about your revelation. I pray, Father, that you will open up our hearts to receive what you want to share with us in your word, Father, that it will become clear to us. And I pray that you will help me and enable me as your servant to teach your people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Jude, we are busy with Jude verse 8 to 10. Now we're going to spend a little bit of time specifically on Jude verse 8 to 10. And the reason for that is because there's a subject that I think we need to discuss that actually comes out very clearly in this passage. Right, verse 8, let's read it. Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Alright, so these false teachers, they speak evil of things that they do not know about. And I think one of those topics that people speak about, where they really don't have a lot of information, is when they speak about the devil or they speak about demons. Well, when it comes to the doctrine of angels, basically, because demons are basically just fallen angels. All right, so, and Satan, Lucifer, is a fallen angel. But before we continue with the whole study about angels, I need to just give you the four characteristics again of the false teachers we find in verse 8. All right, in verse 4. Because there's another four in verse 8. Now, in verse 4, we saw the characteristics is that they get into the church unnoticed. These false teachers are ungodly. They turn the grace of God into a means for them to do all kinds of sin. They deny different things about the Lord Jesus Christ that has been revealed in the Word. Okay? And then we also see in verse 8, four more characteristics of these false teachers, and it is they are dreamers, they defile the flesh, they reject authority, and then the fourth characteristic that we looked at last time is that they speak evil of dignitaries. And you remember that the meaning of the word dignitary is basically glories, which means it can refer to both earthly and heavenly dignitaries. But it is clear that in the context that it refers to heavenly dignitaries, and it actually refers to angels. And that's why we're going to look at the doctrine of angels, because there's a lot that we need to know about angels, and sometimes we don't really spend time. Okay, who goes and studies angels? You know, there's very few people that will do that. And I believe that there's a lot of confusion in the church world today about angels. You see, when people draw pictures and when people look at pictures, it's normally a picture of this being with wings and a halo around the head. Or they draw a picture of the devil as this red man with a tail and a fork. And I believe it's because of these pictures. Now, the pictures, for example, if you ask people what Jesus looks like, we've spoken about this in Bible studies before, but if you ask somebody what Jesus looks like, they will typically refer to Jesus as this baby face guy with a beard and long hair. You know, this like a ladylike figure. It's because of the drawings that has been done through the years, the pictures of Jesus that's out there. And that's nonsense. That's not what Jesus looks like. The same thing with angels. There are obviously angels with wings described in the scriptures. But angels are not these things with wings and halos and the devil a red man with a tail and a fork. That's not what angels look like. You must remember that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. He can appear to become something that he is actually not. Angels can take on the form of human beings and dwell among us, and we won't even know, or walk among us, and we won't even know that they exist, but we're going to get there. But in the Bible, we are taught at least four things about what angels actually are. First thing is, angels are messengers. Remember I said to you last week as well, or the week before, I can't remember, when we spoke about Michael the Archangel, where normally angels are depicted in Scripture as messengers. The Hebrew word for angel is malak, and it basically means messenger. That's what it is, a messenger. So we can say that an angel is a heavenly being who is sent by God to do a certain task. Now, just for interest's sake, the word malak, that is used for angel, is found 103 times in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in the Greek, because remember, in the Old Testament written in Hebrew, in the Hebrew language, and the New Testament in Greek, this word that is used for an angel is the Greek word angelos, and it's found 175 times in the New Testament. So if I do my calculations correctly, it's about 278 times in the Bible that we read about angels. Alright, so it's quite important that we need to understand that angels are messengers from God. But angels are also called sons of God. They're called sons of God because they were created by God. Not because they are sons of God the sense that we are also called sons of God. It's because they are created by God. Right? Just as we are created by God. Now we read in Job chapter 1 verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. Remember that Satan had, he had a higher authority in the Bible. Lucifer was very high. It was an angel of high authority. Okay, so in this sense, but in Job, when we read about the sons of God that came to the into the presence of God to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came, that was already in his fallen state, because he's named Satan. Okay, so we need to understand that. Now, so the sons of God here in Job chapter 1 verse 6, it actually refers to angels. And then again in Job chapter 38 verse 7 we read, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So here it basically means same thing. The sons of God shouted for joy, referring to the angels. Right. So we have basically seen that angels are messengers. Okay, because the word malak means messenger. And then we also see that angels are sons of God. Okay, in the sense that they are, created by God. And they're called the sons of God that comes before God. But we can also say that angels are set apart. In a sense, we can say they are holy. Now, the word holy basically means set apart, for a specific purpose, for a specific task. And when God created the angels, He created them to be set apart specifically for His use and His use alone. That's why God created angels. They are set apart to be used by Him alone. And in that sense, they are holy. Now, it's interesting that you and I, when God regenerates us, and the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us, and we become holy unto the Lord, because we receive His holiness, because we become holy, it basically means that we are now set apart for God and for His purpose. Obviously, it has to do with righteousness as well, that we are right before the Lord. But holy in that sense is that we are set apart for God and for His purpose. And for us to be set apart for God and for His purpose, we need to be regenerated. We need to live holy lives. We need to be separated from the world. We need to be sensitive to sin and not allow sin in our lives. All those kind of things. And in that sense, we are holy. And that's what the angel also does. The angels are set apart for God and for His purpose. They are in the presence of God. There is something about the angels that are amazing, because they have the privilege to be in the presence of God. All right, so angels are set apart by God. They are sons of God, and they are messengers of God. Three things. The fourth thing that we know about angels is that angels are called the host. And this word tells us that the angels are basically the armies of heaven. Right, so they are messengers of God. They've got a specific task, but they are also the armies of heaven. For example, we read in Psalm 89 verse 6, it says, "For who in the heavens can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the Almighty can be likened unto the Lord?" Right, remember that sons of the Almighty refers to angels. And then we read in verse 8 of Psalm 89. It says, "O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you." So, you see, O Lord God of hosts. See, Lord God of hosts refers to God and all the heavenly hosts, the angels. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45, we read, "Then David said to the Philistine," you remember when David went to fight Goliath, says, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defiled." The Lord of hosts, which means God is the master, the king of all the heavenly hosts, all the angels in heaven. Right, and then in Isaiah chapter 31 verse 4 we read, "For thus the Lord has spoken to me, as a lion roars and a young lion over his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is summoned against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor be disturbed by their noise. So the Lord of hosts will come down to fight from Mount Zion and for its hill." See, the Lord of hosts will come down and fight with all of his mighty angels. Right, so we basically see from Scripture that angels are called hosts. They are set apart for God and for his purpose. They are the sons of God in the sense that they've been created. And they are messengers. Yeah? Because the word malak basically means messenger. Those are the four things that we see in Scripture. That Scripture basically reveals to us of what angels actually are. Okay, that's so important for us to understand. Now, there's an important question I believe we need to answer. And that is, do angels really exist? Or is it just a story made up for children? Do they really exist? I mean, has any one of you seen an angel before? Now you see, we as believers do not walk by sight. We don't have to see angels to believe that angels are real. We believe that angels are real for two reasons. Okay, the first reason we believe that angels are real is because the Bible speaks about angels. And we believe the Bible. Now, we believe the Bible to be true. We believe that the Bible is God's revelation to us. So if the Bible speaks about angels, then we accept the fact that angels are real. We believe it. In fact, in 34 of the 66 books of the Bible, we read about angels. In 17 of the books of the Old Testament, we read about angels. And 17 of the New Testament. The writers of the Bible never ask whether angels are real. They simply accept the fact that they are part of God's creation. And then secondly, we believe that angels are real because Jesus met with angels and taught about angels. I mean, Angels help Jesus after the temptation. We read in Matthew chapter 4 verse 11. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. And Jesus compared the body that we will receive after the resurrection, he compares that body with the bodies of angels, or with angels. We read in Matthew chapter 22 verse 28 to 30, it says, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? Remember when the Sadducees were asking Jesus about a woman that was married seven times? For they all had her, so whose wife is she going to be? So Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. Okay. But then Jesus also taught that angels would be active at the end, or in the end times. Example of Matthew chapter 25 verse 31 to 32 says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, that's at the second coming of Christ, eh? And all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. And verse 32 says, all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from the other, or from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. So when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne, and the angels will go and separate one from the other. They will separate the goats from the sheep. This will happen in the end time. So Jesus taught about angels, and that's why we believe that angels are real. They helped Jesus after the temptation. Jesus compared our bodies with the bodies of angels. And Jesus taught that angels would be active in the end times. So it can be said that we believe that angels are real because we trust what Jesus said. We trust that Jesus is faithful and what Jesus said is real. That's why we believe in angels. Right. For now, that's enough. Next time we'll continue with our study on angels. But our study on the book of Jude, where Jude actually speaks about fallen angels and angels. All right, let's pray. Father, thank You that we can come to You in Jesus' name. And thank You that we can learn about heavenly hosts, angels, messengers, that's from You. So that we can know the truth about these things. So that we will know how to act towards them. And not be ignorant, Father, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Help us to understand, to take to heart. And thank You so much that Your word reveals to us what we need to know. Go before us this week and may Your name be glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Thank you very much for listening. And I pray that you will be blessed during this week. And until next time, God willing, bye-bye.